All right, so there we go. Welcome to yet another program brought to you here by Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. It's such a privilege to greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, it is that time of the month, the last Monday of the month, where I get the awesome privilege of spending time with Reverend, I don't know, Doctor, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know, Lawyer. But spending time with Reverend Paul Coupe, I absolutely enjoy doing that. Before we go any further, special shout out to our listeners, our loyal listeners that follow us, that's been following us for a couple of years. We just got a message while we were off air from someone whose life was touched through a Radio Pulpit program. So shout out to you guys. You are so more than welcome to communicate with us. Send me a mail, dwayne@radiopulpit.co.za, and I will make sure to convey the message to Reverend Paul Coupe. Rev, good evening. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. And yes, while you're sending that shout out, I do want to send a shout out to Selena Mnisi, whose message I was actually reading. She sent me a message on Facebook Messenger just thanking for the impact that's been made in her life and the wisdom and the voice, etc. So thank you, Selena, for your message. It really came at the right time when I was busy moaning, groaning, having a bit of a pity party. And telling Dwayne how useless I feel, and feeling like sometimes I sacrificed my legal profession, left my hefty legal salary to volunteer for nothing. Because sometimes, you know, it looks like you put so much effort, you've been not formally employed 13 years, you don't have a salary, and God calls you out to say, come and volunteer and help my people. And sometimes it feels like you're a drop in an ocean. Like people are not listening, people are not following, you know. And sometimes you ask yourself, why am I doing this when I could be comfortable in my nice, legal, fat, cushy legal job like other lawyers driving a Mercedes-Benz again, because I used to drive a Mercedes instead of the Haval I'm driving now. So, yeah, thank you for all the messages that you send to me directly, or whether you send them to me directly, encouraging me, whether you send them to, because we are on other platforms as well. Thank you also, you know, for the other programs, Radio Impact, TBN, all the programs and all the messages we get on the various different platforms, and the ones you send directly to Radio Pulpit as well. Thank you for the encouraging messages, because they really do make a difference. Times when you really feel like throwing in the towel, like today, I really did. Yeah, if Dwayne can tell you, I was really, there's a G Afrikaans word that's coming to mind right now that I don't want to use, but I really was feeling very useless, very tired, and wondering why I'm doing this, because there's zero financial reward. God does take care of me. But there's a lot of sacrifice that is made. So thank you to the few who listen, to those who listen, and especially to those who implement what we tell you to do. And I want to say this from the beginning, that listen, this is not a whinge program. This is not a program where we come on board and all we do is criticize the government, or all we do is whinge about the situation. My grace, my office is apostolic, and it is not apostolic to just complain and criticize. What makes one apostolic is that you bring solutions. You now come with the correct pattern. You now come with the what should we do. So this program, we do that. We do that all the time. So we tell you what not to do, but we also tell you what to do. And for me, please, I'm really pleading with everybody out there. Please listen to what we say you need to do. I remember, Dwayne, and today we're talking about comprehensive sexuality, but not focusing on the negative, focusing on what can we do. Now that government is rolling it out, it's being rolled out in the schools, what can we do? Now, I remember in February 2020, Dwayne, before CSE was rolled out, we had a meeting at Protea Fire and Ice Hotel. And at that meeting, the government, Department of Education, was meeting with 100 religious leaders in South Africa to actually discuss, because we complained. We said we had not been consulted. We said there was no talk with us. They had actually consulted and discussed with other leaders, other stakeholders. They'd had the conversation, but they didn't have the decency to call the religious community. And so as a result of that, that's the meeting that was held. There were 100 leaders. And I'm still trying to emphasize why it's important to listen to us when we speak to you, not only as experts in the field, but as Christians, as your brothers and sisters who you need to trust, who are prophetic and who understand the agenda of the enemy. Because, Duane, at that meeting, there were 100 religious leaders. And we told them, there were about 5 of us who stood up to speak. I was one of those who stood up to speak. And at the end of the day, the Department of Education made an invitation to all the leaders. They went and painted a false narrative and said that CSC was being put in so that their children wouldn't be pregnant. They would know how to avoid being pregnant. And we warned the community that was there to say that is not the case. This is going to teach your children how to masturbate. This is going to teach your children transgender options. This is going to teach your children sexual perversions. I, having worked with the United Nations for many years, for 6 years, who know the agenda of the UN, that this is part of the UN agenda, I warned them, as somebody who's worked with the UN closely and intimately, I warned them that this is what's going to happen. And the 90 or more religious leaders who were there, Duane, chose not to listen to us. And they chose to listen to the Department of Education, a group of people who are not born again, who are not saved, who are not their brothers and sisters. They chose to buy into the false narrative that it was going to protect their children from getting pregnant. And they even stood up and pledged, Duane, when the department asked them, who is going to be an ambassador for us? They stood up and pledged and said, we, more than half the room, at least 75% of religious leaders, bishops, apostles, pastors, teachers, stood up not only to approve and validate comprehensive sexuality education, but they stood up to even declare, profess, and proclaim that they would be ambassadors for the program. It was myself and Freedom of Religion South Africa, Michael Swain, Daniela, who was also there, and a couple of other people who were there, who were the only ones who not only spoke, but stood out, stood against CSE, and refuted their arguments. So I wanted to start off my statement by saying, please, it's very important that you listen to us. Because now Christians have woken up to the truth. Christians are crying and complaining because their children are being taught exactly what we told them. We showed them even pages from the curriculum, from the material, where it was showing private parts. It was showing, you know, condoms and how to put on those condoms. We had distributed those pages to them. In spite of what we showed them, they still chose to believe the false narrative that was being spun by a department that had taken over 500 million rands from UNESCO and other departments, international organizations, that paid them over 500 million rand to roll out this perverted program. So money decided and determined the future of our children. And that's why God says you can't serve me and mammon at the same time. Because now a department that's serving money and mammon convinced a population that did not want to educate themselves, did not want to believe their brothers and sisters who had expertise and knowledge in this and were sounding a prophetic warning and an apostolic alarm. They chose not to believe us, and now we're in this quagmire and in this very sad narrative that we find ourselves in. So today, like I said, this program is not just about, you know, emphasizing the negative, but it's also around giving an alternative, an alternative. The sad reality is CSE is out there. The sad reality is our children are being trained and equipped in immorality, and our children are being taught to enjoy being sexualized. Our children are being trained into early sexualization. The program is now about to be rolled out to, I think, if not already, to grade R's. And Dwayne, you would know this better. Grade R is what? Children who are 6 years old?
Yep, that's exactly.
So 6-year-old children are going to be trained and early sexualized, being taught that it is your right, your personal right, to enjoy sex. That's what's going to be happening. Grade R students, they're going to be taught and trained this. 6-year-olds who can barely spell their name are going to be taught that pleasuring yourself and masturbating is your human right. 6-year-olds are going to be taught that enjoying sex is your human right, and therefore you must actually indulge in it. And they're going to be taught that, you know, things like abortion, if you get pregnant, you are able to have an abortion and you don't need your parents' permission to have an abortion. So this is the journey that we're taking. And so I want to spend time, I'm going to just once again remind us of what CSE is. And then I want to spend time giving the solution, because like I said, this is a program that doesn't just give you the bad news, but it gives you a bit of good news to say there is an alternative. There is a solution. There is a way out. There is an alternative strategy that we can employ to help do this. And I think Dwayne is somebody who also has a Christian school. I'm trusting that you'll also, you know, share a little bit about how you as a Christian school have managed to navigate your way around this. So let's start again, reminding ourselves what CSE, what comprehensive sexuality is all about. So CSE, this is what it's about. CSE, as we said, it stands for Comprehensive Sexuality Education. We know now, unfortunately, painfully so, that it is currently being rolled out, it is being implemented in the schools, and it's Department of Basic Education that is rolling it out. As I said earlier on, UNESCO, which is one of the United Nations organizations, UNESCO is dealing with economic and social affairs, etc. So UNESCO is a big part of the CSE, and other UN agencies, it's not just UNESCO, other UN agencies are a part of rolling this out. Other UN agencies, other agencies such as Planned Parenthood also, and we know that Planned Parenthood is that organization that sponsors abortions. There was a movie out on Planned Parenthood. They sponsor abortion. They promote abortion. It benefits them financially. They make a lot of money out of abortion because they sell the parts. They sell fetal parts for medical purposes. They sell fetal parts for cosmetic purposes, all of those. So Planned Parenthood benefits hundreds of millions, billions even, of U.S. dollars through abortion. So it is their agenda, obviously, because they make so much money out of it, to promote abortion. And it is also their agenda to promote sex, so that young people especially can get pregnant. Pregnancy leads to abortion, and abortion, ka-ching, ching, ching, translates into moolah, chelete, cash, bucks, dollars for them. So that is a little bit about CSE. I did share in Joy Magazine some time ago about the 15 harmful effects. What are the 15 harmful effects of comprehensive sexuality education? And I'm going to present a summarized version of the effects of CSE as summarized by a wonderful group known as Family Watch International, led by Sharon Stone, an apostle, somebody who's very active apostolically in this area. It is an organization internationally renowned that stands for family values, they stand for morality, and they've identified 15 harmful effects of CSE. What are those? One, it sexualizes children by glamorizing and normalizing sex outside of marriage and glamorizing child sex in particular, that there's nothing wrong with it. So the question I have, Dwayne, is why is pedophilia still remain an offense if now we're declaring child sex to be normal? And yet pedophilia still remains an offense. People can still be criminally charged for pedophilia. In Botswana, I just made a commentary recently on a prophet in Botswana who's been charged, and one of his charges was defilement, sleeping with a girl, a 16-year-old girl, and impregnating that 16-year-old girl. So underage sex is still very much a crime. So why are we glamorizing it? Why are we normalizing it and taking it out into the schools? That is perversion at its best. That's number one. Number two, it also teaches children to consent to sex and how to negotiate sexual counters. Dwayne, we have issues, even problems, especially in South Africa, where we see some deviant teachers who are having sexual relations with children. So the introduction of comprehensive sexuality education is now normalizing sex. Children who even now might have known that how to identify sexual predators may not even be able to identify them now, because sexuality and teaching children to have sex early and that it's normal will even lower their ability to even identify sexual predators within the educational system, within the sexual educational system. Thirdly, it also normalizes high-risk sexual activity. One of the things that CSE does is that it promotes different ways of having sex and offers, for instance, anal sex as an option, which is around, you know, homosexuality. Offering it as an option, offering anal sex as an option. This is what is termed as a high-risk sexual activity. Why? Because biologically there are consequences. There are biological consequences to having anal sex in terms of what it can do to your body, in terms of some of the medical consequences that you can suffer. So anything that falls within that category is labeled as high-risk sexual activity. And this is exactly what comprehensive sexuality education does. It normalizes high-risk sexual activity, encourages people to engage in high-risk sexual activity, such as anal sex. It promotes homosexual and bisexual behavior, presents them as options. That's number four. Number five, it teaches children how to pleasure themselves, sexual pleasure that they are entitled. I already spoke about that. I alluded to that. It promotes solo and mutual masturbation as a way of promoting the early sexualization of children. It eroticizes condom use. So in teaching them how to wear condoms, all of that, again, glamorizes, eroticizes condom use. It does not really present abstinence as an option. That should be the very first option that is presented to our children. When I argued against CSE and it being rolled out, one of the things I presented at the February 2020 meeting, at the Fire and Ice meeting, was to say Uganda was one of the countries that successfully fought against and won the battle against HIV by presenting abstinence, first of all, as the primary option. They didn't focus on the ABC. They focused on abstinence. Sex outside of marriage is a no-go area. And that's how Uganda successfully fought against and won the battle against HIV/AIDS, by using abstinence as the primary tool against sexual unwellness and sexual issues and problems. So that CSE doesn't do that. It doesn't establish abstinence as a goal. It promotes gender confusion. We have a whole lot of confusion out there in terms of people who are confused as to what we're... Listen, Dwayne, we have people out there who are now saying they identify as cats and dogs. You know, where is the story of I identify as? Where is it going? Where is it going? People are identifying as inanimate objects. Mm. I posted a story recently of a man in one of the European countries who said he was identifying as a woman, a paralyzed woman. A paralyzed woman. So not only identifying differently in gender, but also as a disabled woman, a fully able-bodied man. I mean, that is a mockery to people who are not able. That you will now pretend to be disabled when there are genuine people out there who are genuinely disabled and cannot opt, you know? I mean, I think that is of the highest level of offensive behavior, that you will go there, you are fully bodied, fully abled, and you will now say you identify as a disabled person. It is mocking those who do not have an option in that area. And that's how ridiculous we are becoming, where people can wake up one day and just say, I identify. People are identifying as inanimate objects. And this is what CSC is promoting, the identification and confusion of people's identity. It's promoting not only gender confusion, but promoting identity confusion. It teaches abortion as an option. Abortion, you know, we're not going to get into that conversation, but also the trauma. I spend hours, many hours weekly, Dwayne, counseling trauma that has been left behind on people who had abortion. Nobody ever wants to talk about the trauma of abortion. Women who years ago, decades ago, 30 years ago sometimes, never forgot the trauma. There's a physical trauma that one experiences because of going through an abortion, and there's an emotional trauma, and there is a spiritual trauma. All these traumas at three levels happen to a person. And in teaching abortion, one forgets that there's a trauma that is associated that can stick with one for decades and decades. It promotes peer-to-peer education and sexual rights advocacy. It also undermines traditional, which is the values and belief system that we use as Christians. It undermines our faith. It undermines the traditional values and belief systems. And it also violates and undermines parental rights. Because now, as I've said, children can, you know, we have rights. We have a right to teach our children and train them, like Proverbs 22:6 says, in line with our values, in line with our religious freedom rights. And now CSC has taken away all those rights. It's violated, undermined our parental rights. And it also refers children to harmful resources. So in a nutshell, that's a lot. That's what CSC does. So like I said, now we want to get to the solution part. What is the solution part? And like I said, Dwayne, I'd love to hear also from you, from the Christian school perspective. What is the solution part? First of all, Dwayne, I want to say this, that we are not advocating that children must not be taught about sexuality. Let me make that clear. Let me make that clear from the onset, from the beginning, that we are not saying children should not be taught. Definitely not. Sexuality is an important part. It's an important aspect of education. It must be taught to children, and it must be taught to them in a way that keeps them safe and protected. CSE does not keep them safe and protected. So we are saying, let's teach our children about their sexuality, but let's teach them the proper way, not in the manner in which CSE is currently being taught. No. First of all, first thing we say is, number one, I've already alluded to Proverbs 22:6, that the Bible says, teach your children. That scripture is not written for educators. It's not written for the Department of Basic Education. It was written for parents. For parents. The obligation, the accountability, the responsibility to teach our children, teach your children, the scripture was written to parents. So we are saying that parents must take up the responsibility of being the primary educators and take up the responsibility for educating their children on sexuality. And secondly, we want to say another criticism of CSE is that you can't teach sex to children in a one-size-fits-all, engine one-stop shop. No. You cannot address sexuality issues in just a one-size-fits-all manner. Every child is different, Duane. Every single child is different. One child is faster than the other child. And it's parents who will be able to determine that this child this child is different from this one. This child is very curious. This child has a lot of curiosity. I may need to teach this child quicker because this child is, if I don't teach this child, they're going to go on the internet. They're going to go on Google. They're going to learn and learn bad. So only parents have that capacity to know when is this child ready for sexuality educational teaching.
I agree.
And definitely I want to say that the school, which is now Schools DBE, Department of Basic Education, that is now wanting to roll out CSE to grade R's who are six-year-olds, definitely I can tell you that not even the majority, there's no six-year-old child that is ready to hear about condoms, to hear about options of sexuality, to hear about masturbation. No. 6 years old? Really? That is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So parents must be the primary educators. They must take overall responsibility for educating their children on sexuality. You can't teach it in a one-size-fits-all manner. Children are unique. They have different personalities. And they have different learning capacity and learning abilities. You must take all of that into consideration when teaching the children. And parents who know their children best are the ones who are able to determine and know when can this particular child be educated and trained appropriately. They know their children best. They know what approach to take in teaching them on this very, very sensitive subject. So, and as I've said, Proverbs 22:6 gives the responsibility of teaching to parents. So, and we must teach our children in line with biblical principles, in line with kingdom principles. So we got together and immediately it was after 2020, during the COVID, that the Lord began to speak to me, Duane. And he said to me, it's going to take a long time fighting comprehensive sexuality education.
Yep.
And while you are fighting it, he said, in the meantime, there are going to be lots of children that are going to be educated and trained in this very unbiblical way. And then God said to me, so you need to respond. You need to come up with a solution. You need to come up with a strategy and a way of countering the effects of CSE. And that's when he then told me to start up a program called FSE, Family Sexuality Education. And this is a program that can be taught over three days that empowers parents. We partnered with other well-known Christian family-oriented organizations to come up with this program. We actually paid a lot of money so that this program could come out. And it empowers parents and helps them overcome any cultural hindrances. You know, we are Africans, and I know as Africans generally, especially within the Black African population group, it is almost taboo to speak to your children about sexuality. Culture doesn't always welcome such conversations. So we are saying that this program, this three-day training, will help you introduce the subject matter to your children in a better and a faster way. And so FSC is a sexuality program that empowers parents, helps them overcome any cultural hindrances that may very well hinder them or impair them from teaching their children on sexuality. It also will help them to educate their children. We use scripture. We use biblical principles. It'll help them educate their children in a biblical way and in a scriptural manner and in a way that will focus on abstinence. So our focus, our goal is preaching and teaching abstinence, that sex outside of marriage is a no-go area. God created sex for marriage. And the curriculum doesn't only focus on teaching of sexuality. It also focuses on, you know, how to protect yourself. It talks about the issues of self-respect. So the aspect of self-respect, respecting one another. We focus on knowing your identity in Christ, so that you'll have some measure of self-respect, how to control yourself, aspects of self-control. We also focus on issues of how to avoid drug and alcoholic prevention, having the courage to say no, because there's a lot of peer pressure that's put on these children. It also focuses on, you know, teaching children how to protect themselves from sexual abuse. There's a lot of child sexual abuse. So child sexual abuse prevention is one of them, skills for children to adopt on that. It even covers the aspect of bullying, hooliganism and bullying, teaching children on those aspects and, you know, helping them do all that. So we've been training and teaching children. And churches, we want to extend that invitation to churches. Generally speaking, we say to churches, we can train you as a group. We don't train less than 20 people because it's time intensive, and we don't have a lot of facilitators. Most of our facilitators are working, so do get in touch with us if you want to get in. You know, if you want to say that, listen, I want to get involved in this. If you want to come together as a church or as a group, even as a cell group, you don't have to be a church to say, we want this program. We do charge a very small fee for the program because we had to pay a lot of money for the program. So it would be great if you come together as a group, then it will be cheaper. You know, if 100 of you come together, it'll be a lot cheaper than really for 3 days. It's a 3-day teaching program, and you'll be surprised at how cheap the program is. You know, people out there are charging 1,000 rand for a seminar. We're not even charging 1,000 rand per person. Normally, in fact, per person, we charge 500 rand for the whole 3 days, But if you come together as a group of people, it can actually even be a lot cheaper, because then we'll just charge a flat rate for a group. So it can be done online through Zoom, and the training can also be done in person. So please do contact me. Check me on my Facebook page. Contact me on my Facebook page, and I'll put you in touch with our FSE facilitators, those who do the teaching. So look out for me on my Facebook page, Pearl Komoto Kupe. Look out for me. Send me a message. You can inbox me, and we can put you in charge. We have flyers with all the information on that. In fact, I will even send you the flyer, Dwayne, and maybe you can help us post it on the Radio Pulpit platform, and I'll also post it on our platform with all the information in terms of who you can contact and get the exact details around that. So yeah, so that's pretty much my story for today. It's just to say, listen, family, there are challenges, there are issues out there. It's not the end of the day. We have worked hard, put our own personal money in here. Some of these programs, this program that was paid for, you know, we had to invest money into it. And we're saying there's solutions. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to, you know, just give up. And so by the time CSE is rolled out in the schools, and maybe your child has to, you know, face CSE, make sure that you've already grounded your children, that your children have been exposed to sound teaching. And even if they are exposed to CSE, they've been rooted they've been rooted, they've been trained in proper teaching, and they can reject CSE because their foundations are solid. Psalms 11:3 said, what can the righteous man do if the foundations are destroyed? So make sure that the foundations of your child are biblically sound foundations of FSE, which stands for Family Sexuality Education, and not CSE, which stands for Comprehensive Sexuality Education, which is biblically, it opposes our biblical principles. It opposes our standards, our values, our principles, everything we stand against. CSE is not what the Bible promotes, but FSE is biblically aligned. So make sure that your children are aligned to FSE and have that as their foundation and not CSE. So God richly bless you. Over to you, Dwayne. I think you've got quite a few comments that you can add.
Yeah, I actually do have quite a few. Rev, you said that we should educate our children before it hits our schools. But I just quickly want to say there to parents, I hope parents understand what a SGB is, a school governing body. A school governing body consists of active parents that plays roles in the decisions of a school. Now, we've got so much schools out there claiming to be the so-called Christian institutions that just accepts the CSE and accepts that they should roll it out. But hold on. There's a right. The school has got a constitutional right through the school's governing body to reject the department's curriculum and have an alternative option in place. So this is the part probably where I have the call to action to the parents that needs to start holding their school governing bodies accountable for this. Because comprehensive sex education must be taught at your school, but you do not have to teach the government's curriculum. And there's so much alternative options to do Christian character. There's an option, Rev, a curriculum that I'm involved with. It's distributed through Accelerated Educational Enterprises with Graham Yoko and Mandla Matebu. The curriculum is called Smart Choices. And it's comprehensive sex education accredited by the department, but it does not speak into all of these things that goes against the word of God. But Dwayne, my child is in a government school. It doesn't change the fact that you've got a governing body at your school, and you as parents can hold that governing body accountable for the choice of CSE curriculum at your school. So for me, that's mind-blowing. Rev, I want to share something interesting with you, if you don't mind. In the year 2024, one in seven childbirths are done by one in seven by teenagers younger than 16 years old. In 2024, the September latest statistics in 2024 was that 365 teenage girls gives birth in South Africa on a daily basis. Let me just give you this. This is a very interesting statistic that I'd like to share with you. Since the introduction of the comprehensive sex education, South Africa is steadily climbing the statistics of 1.5% per year in teenage pregnancies. Now, this has been since the introduction of CSE. Rev, if we take 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24, we are talking of almost a 6% increase in teenage pregnancies. Now, ask the question, if CSE was the answer, why aren't these numbers declining? Why are they going up? So, Rev, my big plea to parents is don't just read the letter from your school that says my child has to do this. You have a constitutional right as school governing body to use an alternative curriculum. That's the only thing I want to say, Rev.
Yeah, and those statistics are exactly right. In fact, that's one of the arguments I raised on I think it's Carte Blanche, a few years ago, when we were talking about that whole issue around comprehensive sexuality education. And I raised the fact that, you know, the preliminary statistics were showing that it wasn't even resolving the issue of teenage pregnancies. So I will look for that link also and share that with you. Maybe you can share that on your platforms as well to use as an educational tool as well. But yeah, definitely.
Ironically enough, so currently in South Africa, 13.9% of all births are through teenagers aged 16 and younger. Rev, this is the biggest concern to me, and I just want to touch on this. Any girl that's pregnant in the age group of 10 to 14 years old represents a train smash problem for South Africa, because this means that this girl was likely exposed to non-consensual sex or statutory rape. So we should maybe perhaps just go ask ourselves the question, what are we exposing our 10 to 14-year-olds to? Because this is non-consensual sex. This becomes a concern.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And you know, one of the things we're really struggling with, I have a few friends who are involved in the issue of fatherlessness. One of my friends, in fact, I was just texting him now, Zane Mias, who I think, you know, some people may know, he's been in some of the TV programs and soap operas. Yeah, I can say Afrikaans, so I never can remember the name.
Yes.
Plus, I don't watch soap operas. So, yeah. But, Zane is very involved in the issue of fatherhood and fathering, because we have millions of fatherless children in South Africa. So one of the social ills, Duane, that we are currently battling right now is the issue of fatherlessness. So children who are raised in homes and there are no fathers, there's no balance. We're finding that in terms of not having good role models, in terms of their propensity towards crime and, you know, getting involved in criminal activities, all of that. So fatherlessness is doing a lot of harm to South Africa. And by this, we're promoting what you're saying about teenage pregnancies, young girls. You know, the teenage pregnancy rate has gone up. And what does that mean? That also means that fatherlessness rate is gone up, because most of these girls are not and will not be married by the fathers of those children. And, you know, aside from that, Duane, if there's pregnancy, that means that, you know, there's also possibility of STDs, etc. You know, so the fact that the person got pregnant means they were not using even those condoms, and means that the pregnancies may not just be the only thing they're facing. They're maybe also facing STDs. And STDs, sorry to be a bit graphic, gonorrhea, all these venereal diseases, we know that if they're not treated in time, they lead to barrenness. They lead to medical problems. They lead to, you know, fallopian tube and womb uterine issues, and even cancer. So there's a host of problems that are related to this issue of early sexualization. And this sexualization issues are not just when we talked about legalization of prostitution. I raised this issue as well. Yeah. It's not even just children. I raised the reason why we don't want prostitution legalized. Because we love people who are engaged in prostitution. We love them too much. We want to see them engaged in proper jobs, dignified jobs that do not reduce them to become a sex machine, that do not reduce them to become open to getting all sorts of diseases that can eventually kill them, some of which are terminal. We love them to not, you know, expose them to being beaten. We love them too much that we want them to engage in jobs where they can hold their heads up high and their children can proudly present them and talk about the job that their mothers are in. There's no child out there and no mother who will be proud to say, my daughter is a prostitute or my child is a prostitute. Nobody can convince me of that. So we want them to engage in jobs where their mothers and their children will be able to say, my daughter is, my child is. And so, like I say, there's a host of health problems, biological problems, emotional problems, spiritual challenges that are related to early sexualization, to promiscuity. All of the CSE promotes another dimension and level of promiscuity, as if we're not already struggling with that in South Africa.
Yeah.
You know, we alcoholism is a problem. Even alcohol in schools, we've seen that happen. We've seen children, small children, 12 to 18 year olds, dying in taverns. Many children there. So all these issues, this is not the way to resolve the challenges and the social ills that we're facing. We need to drive our children towards, we need to encourage them towards morality, towards righteousness and right standing. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. And this is the reproach that we're currently facing. And we need to teach this next generation that sin is a reproach. It cannot benefit you. It will eventually kill you if you keep indulging in sin. And so get out of sin so you can live the life that God actually set aside for you and be that blessing, be that channel, that instrument of change and transformation that God purposed you to be instead of being taken out by promiscuous behavior. Amen.
All right, so Rev, before we say goodbye to you, in a final wrap, what's up in the life of Reverend Paul Coupe? Where are you next? Where are you traveling to? Where can we check you out?
I just came back from an amazing weekend in Mpumalanga and Malahleni at Gateway International Church with my hosts, Pastor Stella and Apostle Eddie Petla. We had an amazing time there. Tomorrow I leave for KZN, where we're going to be at a conference hosted by Apostle Tami Masobo. I'll be there with Apostle Chris Matebula. I'll be there with Prophetess Sibongile Stola as well, some of the other speakers. We're going to be talking about the mandate, and I believe I'll be sharing on the mandate there and just encouraging us as the church to know, to understand what the mandate of the church is. So please, if you are there in that area, I want to encourage you to be there. Next week, I'll be in Zimbabwe speaking at the Global Leadership Summit on November the 4th. So if you are in Zimbabwe, please, I want to encourage you to come and meet with us in Harare, where we'll be talking leadership stuff. There, we're going to be hosted by our beautiful hosts there who will really be just hosting us on another level in Zimbabwe. Zila is her name, her husband Zila, and her husband, Mr. Chiloa, Harold Chiloa, they're going to be hosting us in Harare. So, hallelujah. We look forward to seeing you at some of these events. Please be regular. Check me on my Facebook page a lot. I've got quite a few people on there. You can follow me there. There's no more space for friends. But on my main page, Pearl Komoto, KGOMOTSO, Coupe, Pearl Komoto Coupe. It's got a blue star. Please make sure that you look for the verified little blue star because, as usual, we have those scammers, Tata Machans. I've seen quite a few of them trying to fake scammers, you know, trying to pretend to be me. So look out for the blue star. Look out for my Facebook account that has a little blue asterisk next to it. And that's my page. It has over 40,000 followers. That's the page you need to follow. That's the page that will keep you updated in terms of events, where I'm going to be, and in terms of what's the latest in terms of what we need to fight and stand against and contend for.
All right, well, just in closing, I'm very jealous with you going over to Zimbabwe. If you didn't know that, but I've got Zimbabwean blood in me. My father was born in Zimbabwe. So
amazing.
At some stage, I got to return home. Some of my good friends are also on that side, Pastor Tommy Duchel. He's got a church
on
the...
Yes, he's a good friend of mine.
Oh, well, his two sons, Tommy and Danny, are the artists in the group called Celebrate Africa. And they are my buddies.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've ministered a few times with Pastor Tom and Bonnie Deschelles as well. In fact, the last time I was there, because we posted in their church at Celebration Church. So I heard that they just returned from their daughter's wedding. And I ran upstairs to their offices just to go and say hi to them. So, yeah.
Oh, well, anyway, Rev, blessings on all of your travels. Once again, thank you for this. Once again, we will be podcasting this and we'll be distributing it as far and wide as we possibly can. I'll put it on my page. I'll send it to Rev. So please go check us out. Go follow this. Go follow us and go share this for the world to see.
Yes.
Rev, once again, thank you for your time. You're always such a blessing to me.
Chop shop. Checking out.
And in the wise words of Reverend Paul Kupay, Kenako.
Kenako. Let's do this.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Let's go, family.